This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way. Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 253 for the week ending Saturday, December 27th, 2014. Good morning and welcome to Catholic Weekend. I'm your captain, Captain Jeff Nielsen in Roswell, Georgia. And joining me today, also in the lovely state of Georgia, the Peach State, Miss Maria Johnson.
Hello there. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And also joining us from the plains of Oklahoma, Steve Nelson. Oklahoma, where the
wind comes sweeping. Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry third day. Is this recording? Does it count as a white Christmas if it comes on the third day of Christmas?
Yeah, it's still Christmas, which we're going to talk about here in the show. And joining us also from Montana, Father Corey.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Father.
Unfortunately, we didn't have a white Christmas. We had a brown Christmas because all the grass was dead, but then it snowed the day after.
Oh, okay. Wow. I bet it's cold out there. How is the weather out there, the temperature-wise?
It's been actually not too bad. I mean, by Montana standards, not too bad, which means it's been kind of hovering around freezing 20s and 30s Fahrenheit. However, Monday and Tuesday, it's supposed to be down in single digits Fahrenheit and drop down below zero overnight. So we've had some nice weather until now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Speaking of nice weather, San Diego's got it all. And joining us from the lovely town of San Diego, a California girl, Miss Lynn Francisco.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. And let's turn that one off. There we go. And finally, joining us from just south of the Ohio River in the bluegrass state and the western portion thereof, we have singing in his shower, Terry Jones, the Saint Master.
I'm at a loss on how that sound applies to me.
We know.
That's what most people say when they hear that.
So, Terry.
It can never go well.
Terry, yeah, it's never a good sign when you hear the trololo sound. Terry Jones, if you're not familiar with Mr. Jones, he is the prognosticator. Is that the right word? The curator, the chief website person for the Saints site at SQPN, saints.sqpn.com.
A very excellent site.
Probably the most heavily plagiarized site on SQPN.
Yeah, I've noticed that I'm really helping people sell things on eBay.
Yeah, really? That's a great site, though. I probably end up there at least once a week reason or another.
I've been living there for some time now.
Yeah, I finally put a counter on it the other day because I was wondering if anybody was actually using the thing anymore. But I used to get hate mail a lot, but it's really trickled off, so I didn't know if anybody was even visiting it anymore.
Hate mail?
Hold on now. Hate mail? What kind of hate mail were you getting?
Oh, God, I used to get all kinds of stuff from there was several people who wanted to it was just satire. They would write about their visions of Mary being seen, stuff like that. Plus, there was a lot of Protestants who wanted to explain to me what a horrible thing I was doing, promoting talking to the dead and whatnot. And then there's others that just plain don't like any of it. There was some, in fact, I got, there was, apparently some Klan members decided to jump on the restaurant. I got a whole series of
wow.
And it was weird because they said I was slandering some of the ones that back in like the 15th century, there was this rash of things where there was supposed to be Jews killing little kids for Passover. And that's what I put on there. Saint so-and-so, there's, you know, the cultists have been suppressed because it was all just anti-Semitism. Oh, you're slandering that poor little boy who was, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
They actually believe that? Oh, man.
I guess, because why else would they, you know, send me something from a domain name with the Klan in it, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I didn't know the Klan actually had domain names.
Yeah, I guess freedom of speech lets you do all kinds of terrible things.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I have to admit, I've had a few homilies off of the Saints site for like a Saints feast day. Just print off the page and take it over.
With proper attribution, Father?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Plagiarized for my homily. I admit it.
Here's the man.
Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned.
How long did it take you to curate all of that information?
Well, I'm nowhere near done. I'm hoping to have version one finished. My target date is like All Saints of 2016 to finish version one.
Wow.
Version one being something, because there's not that much to my mind on here for everybody that I can find.
So what happens when you stumble into those saints that are just a name?
That's,
pass it over.
No, I go ahead and put whatever I can find. Some of them I actually have to say no information, you know, has survived.
Oh, wow.
All we know is that you know, somewhere in Wales there was the devotion to this person. And no other information, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
And, of course, it's not like it was a few years ago when about every third week John Paul was putting out another broadside of names.
But, and he wouldn't put out just one or two. He'd put out, like, 100.
Oh. Yeah. I've had people want to know, you know, how many exactly are there? And I don't know. Some of them, they come in groups of 800 or something, you know.
Yeah.
Working on that, so. I found some notes the other day. I think I've been at it since '97.
Wow,
that's dedication. That's awesome.
I'm a convert and a pack rat for information, and it all just kind of worked together to do this.
Well, tell us about your conversion story.
Not that much to tell. I was sort of raised Protestant. I went to a bunch of Baptist churches and interdenominationals, non-denominationals, and basically all I learned was that God likes a certain thing, and I wasn't it. And so I wound up just being absolutely indifferent. If he would leave me alone, I would leave him alone. My wife is cradle Catholic, who at the time we got together had kind of fallen away, the way you do when you're in your 20s. A lot of the time. And we, for a number of reasons, wound up having to send my oldest boy, not having to, but we sent him to a local parish school. They had one that went kindergarten through eighth grade. And we just did not like the public schools, and so we wound up sending him there. And then when his sister came along, she went. And then there was a family tragedy, and we wound up overnight with three extra kids, and so we sent all of them there. So when you got five kids in Catholic school, you're out there a lot. And so I was around all these things, and then this RCIA thing came up, and I started going just to see what, you know, so I'd have some actual background, because I knew nothing. And then I still remember one day sitting in the car waiting to go into that in the afternoon and reading a section in the little book that we had, and it was about Zacchaeus up in the tree. And the thing, the little book just asked the question about what God was saying to me. And then just all of a sudden, just I understood that, you know, at a rather deeper level than just intellectual, then instead of it being people talking to each other 2,000 years ago, it was actually kind of looking down the corridor of time, and all of it was being said to all y'all and everybody else and me. And suddenly it all seemed real important, and I started taking it seriously, and the next thing you know, it was Easter. So,
Wow.
I don't know if any of that hangs together as a story, but...
Well, that was sure does. Awesome.
In fact, another angel just got its wings, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, it says Lynn just tagged me on Facebook.
Sorry about that. Got to drum up publicity somehow.
No, that's a wonderful story.
Isn't it remarkable how people get to that place in the faith? Either it comes in through your brain, but it has to hit your heart, or it comes in through your heart, and then your brain kicks in. Mm-hmm. But the two are so closely linked. You have to know it and feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for me, it was a brain thing, and then it down to my heart. But thankfully for Linda, it was the heart, you know, and that's what brought me. And as you realize, Terry, you know, it's like, you know, it does matter, you know, and that's what got the ball rolling for me as well. Fantastic. So nice to have you with us. And how did the whole, relationship with SQPN start, Terry?
I stumbled across, Catholic Insider.
Mm-hmm.
I think at about when Father died, about 4 or 5 eps, when he was still just experimenting with it. And the idea of podcast really appealed to me. I'm the kind of, while I'm working on anything, I listen to podcasts or, you know, lectures or talk radio or something in the background. And I just started listening, and since I'm the kind of butt in on things, I immediately got in, figure out how stuff works. I got online and suddenly just showed up in the chat rooms and whatnot, and glory be, I didn't get blocked.
So, and then as far as the relationship with, you know, putting that huge resource of saints on.
I had been working on that. Like I said, I'm kind of a pack rat, and I started experimenting with how you make web pages and different things. And the place I was using, I went from one of the free places to Catholic Forum, and then they were going to change hands. Apparently some part of it bought out Liturgical Publications, which is the ones that ran it. And I kind of needed to find someplace else. And I mentioned it to Dr. Paul, and he apparently just turned right around and started nagging Father Roderick, let me move the stuff over there.
I'm now, sure it didn't take much nagging.
Well, I wasn't all that excited, I don't think, because he likes things to be pretty. And especially back then, it were not.
That's right.
And so, you know, he kind of had the eyebrow up, but he thought, well, you know, why not? And I like Dr. Paul, and okay, we'll let him do it. So, and once again, I muscled my way in, and I'm still here.
See, I remember the old Catholic Forum site. I remember those, that way back when. That was even before I was in the seminary that was around. But yeah, I remember that site a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, we're so glad that Dr. Paul used his influence over the good father to include your great resource on our site. So
we appreciate it.
It's a really big part of SQPN, and we do appreciate it. And so, Lynn, normally you live in the Raleigh area, but you're in San Diego. Do you have family out there?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you can see my mom in the background.
Hello.
There she is.
She's fixing you some breakfast, I see.
Well, actually, I think it sounds to me like she was pouring herself a cup of tea.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, and you know, so I mean, we've been up for a while. I've been up since 3:30 this morning. I suspect my body is still on East Coast time. So, I mean, I've just been plying myself with tea all morning, and you know, had a bit of egg and toast earlier while Jeff Young was doing his thing. So. Yeah. But yeah, my parents live here. In fact, right now I'm in the house that I grew up in.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could see that's the kitchen back there. And finally, the sun has risen in San Diego. So you can see all the light streaming in from the window. Yeah.
Excellent. So we're so happy to see you. Now, you're always here with us behind the scenes, and so much of the planning and prep work, and don't blame it on Lynn. It's actually my fault for poor execution, but Lynn does a fantastic job of giving us lots of things to talk about, great topics. She tries to keep us all in order as much
as
she can.
That's such a hard thing to do. I mean, it's like corralling cats.
It is. And, you know, and really even almost more work, I would imagine, is doing all the post, taking the show notes and trying to make something of it on the post on the SQPN page. So, Lynn, we really appreciate all your hard work as well. So I'm glad that you could join us this morning.
Happy to be
from
here.
San Diego. Well, you can hear the music coming up in the background. It's our first break. And of course, we have to talk about the fact that we are right now in the midst of our podcast marathon. You may be listening to the show later in the week, but this Saturday morning, we started off at 8 o'clock Eastern time with the 2014 End of the Year Giving Campaign Podcast Marathon. And we have raised a little bit of money since we started. I don't know the exact dollar amount, but I think the latest tally was $13,104 of the $18,000 that we need to reach at some point. Hopefully, we'll get a good amount of that today during the marathon. And so far today, we've had Jeff Young join us. He did an episode of his newly resurrected Catholic Foodie podcast, and look forward to hearing more from Jeff and the Catholic Foodie in the future. And again, if it's not on your iTunes or Podcatcher or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, make sure you refresh that feed, because he's going to be starting to put out new content for you. And coming up today after this show, you may have heard of this show, Catholic in a Small Town. Mac and Catherine Barron in Swainsboro, Georgia, are going to record their weekly episode of their show. And so I'm really looking forward to that. That will be at noon. And then shortly after 1 o'clock, Dr. Paul Camerata, we've been talking about him a lot this morning in today's Catholic Weekend show. He is going to be joining us for an episode of the SaintCast, or something to do with the SaintCast. So, and it really doesn't matter, as long as we hear from Dr. Paul. That's all that really matters. And then after that, we're going to hear Greg and Jennifer Willits record their fantastic podcast, The Catholics Next Door. And after that, Miss Maria Johnson will be leading us in the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And it looks like we have from our tally person, Linda, $13,679. Wow. We're really getting there. $13,679, the latest tally. Thank you, Linda, for...
Jeff, I have a question for you about donate.
Yes.
You know, I know when you go to the donate site, there's all kinds of great ways of donating there. But if you just want to send a check, how would you inform SQPN so they could be included in the tally?
Well, that's a good question. If you are intending to send a check and not use any of the convenient methods that we have on the SQPN.com/donate page, please send an email to Linda@SQPN.com. And that will alert her to the fact that you're intending to send us paper money, or at least a check. And then she can include that in the tabulation. Maybe send it to info@SQPN as well. Maybe a copy to info@SQPN, just to make sure that we all catch it, or the appropriate people behind the scenes get the information. So Linda@SQPN and copy it to info@SQPN. Thank you for asking that question, Steve.
Oh, you're welcome. And I make all my donations through my checking account. You know, they automatically send checks out, and so I like to keep it all in one place.
Or you could just give us all the information for your checking account, and then we'll just make automatic drafts of various amounts throughout the year. You can send that to Jeff at SQPN.com.
If it helps any, I see a P.O. box here on the SQPN About Us page.
Right.
Would that be the one that people could be sending checks to?
Yes, that's where you would actually send your physical check, the P.O. Box, what is it, 490?
P.O. Box 491, Roswell, Georgia, 30077.
Okay. And you can find that information on the SQPN.com page, one of those pages, about or something?
At the bottom of the donate
page. It's the about, yeah.
Oh, the bottom of the donate page. Okay, great.
That too.
Well, I think we have all that taken care of. Thank you for the administrative details. Well, and that's good to mention. Thank you, Steve, for those that are still using that technology for taking care of donations and such. So, well, how is your Christmas going, Father Corey?
Well, it was very busy, as you might imagine. We had five masses. I had five masses.
And the rest of your staff, your clergy?
Yeah, the rest of my clergy staff, being, you know, my three personalities, me, myself, and I. I'm a sole priest, so it's just me. Actually, we had vigil mass, midnight mass here in Malta, and then I had my usual Sunday schedule, which is the westernmost mission, Malta, easternmost mission. So, yeah, five masses, 100 miles of driving. My voice was a little sore yesterday. It's still, you might even be able to hear a little bit of it in my voice, where it's still not 100% yet. It was great. I love it. I love Christmas. I think, you know, I think a priest should be worn out at the end of Christmas, but it should be that good worn out, because he's given himself to celebrate the birth of our Lord. So I love it. I absolutely love it. And it was,
do you have a good singing voice, Father?
I think I do. You'll have to ask my parishioners.
Do you sing the Christmas proclamation?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did.
Ooh. I'm always impressed by that.
Yeah, I recorded it. I'll have to pull it off my tablet and see how it turned out. But I did do it, and I thought it turned out decent. I didn't quite hit all the notes, those high notes towards the end, where it actually talks about how he's born in Bethlehem, gets really, really high.
You just started too high.
Yeah.
Well, but it's got quite the range of that chant has actually got a pretty good range, so it does get mm-hmm. high. It gets low too.
So we have a new priest that it likes to chant, and I love priests that chant. However, is not very good at it.
Practice makes perfect, you know.
Well, apparently he's been practicing for many years. And
he's perfectly awful all the time now.
Well, you know, it's just like, I mean, I told Linda, I said, I really appreciate the fact that he knows that that's important, an important thing to do. But, you know, how do you tell him that maybe he should just like say the words and not chant it?
Just be grateful he's doing it at all, even if it hurts the ears.
That's true. That's
a lot of priests. True. I mean, I know a lot of priests that they do low masses. Everything is low mass. They do not sing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
They might have one or two, you know, they might have musicians, they might have cantors, but the priests themselves, they don't sing a thing. They don't chant a thing.
Speaking as a cantor, I'm always very grateful when the priest approaches me before the mass and says, Lynn, you think I could chant the Kyrie? And I said, sure, I'll give that to you, Father. I mean, I'm always happy to hear you sing, chant.
Yeah.
Our pastor has the choir master uses a little pitch pipe to get him, you know, a relative pitch before he starts, because.
Sure.
Yeah, this guy's.
It was great.
Well, that's.
This guy's problem is not really the starting pitch. It's just at some point during the chant, it just switches mm-hmm. keys a few times, and then it's kind of tough at the very end when the gathering needs to answer with chant. You know, you're not really sure exactly what note to hit.
Where to go?
Yeah.
Well, this is the last one that he chanted. Hmm? Yeah, because I'm sorry. Yeah, because at the midnight mass that I was at, the deacon actually chanted the gospel. And so he started at a certain pitch, and he was doing so well. And then after he passed the midpoint part of the gospel, I noticed he started imperceptibly dropping the pitch. And then by the time he finished, he was probably about a half tone lower than what he started, which if you think about it, is not so bad. But at least the congregation was pretty much used to it. So they just picked up with whatever pitch he ended. And I mean, answered him fine. So, I mean, that's the really nice thing about chant. It doesn't matter exactly where you start, you know,
well,
and it's very flexible.
It's kind of like that that Saturday Night Live skit from a couple of weeks ago of the Christmas Mass Spectacular, where the priest is chanting, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, your son who lives in, you know, where he's changing speed all the time, you know.
I didn't see that one. I have to look
on it. Oh, my goodness. You need to check it out.
It's probably one of the best Saturday Night Live religion skits since, like, Church Lady, and it's actually respectful of religion.
Yeah.
Sadly, very accurate in many parts.
And very accurate too.
we had a parochial vicar years ago in another parish that I was a member of, and he wanted to sing, and he sang it very, very strongly. You know, through him, with him, in him, and he. If you had never heard him do this, it's startling. I mean, it's so fun to watch people that had never heard him do this, and to kind of, I'd always kind of look up from prayer to see the reactions from people, because you'd think that he was like just joking around, but he was very serious about it. And then after a while, you got used to the fact that this was going to happen. It wasn't startling anymore, but
sure.
We had Count Dracula priest, who every time he said blood would go blah.
Oh, my. Well, again, the music is popping up in the background. That's our bottom of the hour break. Can you believe we've already made it through half of Catholic weekend almost?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yes. So,
I feel like it's a PTL marathon.
I feel like Jerry Lewis. No, I don't.
Keep your pants on.
Yeah, I'll try. And who's to say I have them on right now?
Oh, all did right. you see? Did you? Oh, I'll tell you in the next segment. Go ahead.
So, again, thank you for listening to Catholic Weekend. And thank you all of those of you out there who are watching us live Saturday morning, December 27th, as we record during the podcast marathon. And again, we're looking for a very modest amount this year, $18,000 total, so we can keep the train on the track. And you know how important that is if you listen to this show. So to help us out by heading over to sqpn.com/donate. If you want to help us in other ways, you can do that as well. Of course, our prayers are always appreciated. But if you want to, if you do some shopping, like online shopping, amazon.com, head over to sqpn.com and look for the Amazon links there. And click on that first, and then do your shopping on Amazon. And a little bit of your purchase will go toward the StarQuest Production Network. And a little few pennies here, a few pennies there, they all add up together to actually make something quite significant for us. So we do really appreciate the partnership with Amazon and your shopping through them. And also, I think the smile, you can designate the recipient of your donations that way as well. How, Lynn, is that smile.amazon.com? How do we?
Yes, smile.amazon.com. And I mean, I do this too. I've designated SQPN as the charity that will benefit from every purchase that I make through Amazon.
Excellent. So that's another way to do it as well. And finally, if you're somebody like Steve Nelson, Sarah Vabulous, let's see, Father Roderick, and who else uses Bluehost? Do you, Father Corey, use Bluehost?
Nope, no, I don't. Doesn't. Okay. I use a different provider. So.
Me too. But one of these days,
yep,
I'm going to switch over to Bluehost because Bluehost is one of our partners. They help us out considerably when you sign up for their web hosting. So if you want to start a competing site, a saints.whatever site that just blows away Terry Jones' work, then head over to Bluehost. No, I'm just kidding. There's no way. Don't even try it. There's no way you could get anywhere near the resource that Terry Jones has
or
created.
Or if you do, send me a link so I can plagiarize it.
There you go.
There you go.
So, but let's say you have something you want to sell, or maybe you want to blog about something, or you want to start a podcast. And if you do a podcast, you really do need a blog to kind of set the whole thing into motion when you do your episodes. Any of those things, consider Bluehost.com. They're a great hosting service, and if you sign up with them, they give us some money and really helps out as well. Very generous contribution, actually. And Steve can tell us here, because he uses Bluehost, that they're a good, solid service.
They are. I mean, I don't even know how long I've been using them now. 4 years, maybe? And I just really like their customer service. They always let you know way in advance when you know your account needs to be renewed or one of your domain names needs to be renewed. And I've never had any serious outages. And, you know, they've even warned you, you know, when there were some vulnerabilities in WordPress, they even warned you about that so you could go and update. I mean, I've just really been thrilled with them.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. So again, if you're looking for a blog, podcast, whatever, Bluehost.com is the place to go. And we're back for our bottom of the hour, or from our bottom of the hour break. And I wanted to find this little article, five myths about Christmas that just won't go away. And the first one they have listed here, this is from churchpop.com. And make holy all the things, it says. Myth one, Clement C. Moore wrote, "'Twas the night before Christmas." And the truth is that the poem, "'Twas the night before Christmas," was originally published anonymously in New York's Troy Sentinel in 1823. 13 years later, Clement C. Moore stepped forward and said that he was the author of the poem. But soon after that, other members of his family disputed his claim, saying that the other members of their family had been reciting the poem for at least the last 30 years or so. Busted. And here's
plagiarism.
Yeah, speaking of plagiarism, Terry, man.
Do you know that poem was actually subjected to something called forensic writing? Where not handwriting, but your style, the way that you write to try to settle that claim.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, it's a neat thing.
Well, anyway, did you know that the 12 Days of Christmas song is actually a secret Catholic code?
No.
Yes, it is. Well, no, actually, it's not. that's a myth. And by the way, it's the third day of Christmas, which is something
Merry
about
three French hens.
Yeah, so apparently...
That's not the Trinity?
In 1979, a Canadian scholar published an article entitled, "How to Decode the 12 Days of Christmas." His article had a novel claim. The different gifts in the song, the 12 Days of Christmas, are code for Catholic beliefs, and it was created by English Catholics when Catholicism was illegal in England. I've heard this myth before myself. Since then, the claim has been repeated and spread far and wide in Catholic circles. There's only one problem. The scholar who originated the theory provided no evidence for his claims and later admitted that he had just made it up. Besides, none of the things he claimed the song mentioned in code were unique to Catholicism, so there would have been no need for them to be hidden from Protestants. So
I think he also made up the term scholar.
Yeah. And the Canadians were kind of hoping that he had made that up as well. Oh,
too bad Father Daryl's not in the chat right now.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Well, no. We do have a couple of Canadians in the chat. We've got Cliff from Wedgeport, Nova Scotia, right? Mm-hmm. And then we've also got Sean McGuy, the duct tape guy.
Oh, yeah, Sean.
Yes.
As Sean said, he's experiencing a first world problem. He says, YouTube for Roku will not stream this, our Hangout, to their 40-inch TV, so he has to listen on his computer.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. Let's,
where's your sad trombone?
I'm trying to find it, and I can't get it. It's somewhere.
Wah.
Yeah. Well, that's not it at all.
That's not it.
No.
No, that's in a
world.
There we go. Well, Sean, long time no here. Good to see you. I don't see you, but good to see you in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. Well, you know what? Another myth is?
What?
That Coca-Cola invented Santa Claus. Oh, come on. Really?
That's actually a myth.
Yeah, I can't believe that's a myth.
What I mean is people actually think that?
Apparently so. The character Santa Claus developed into a form close to its current form in the late 19th and 20th centuries. Coca-Cola ran its famous advertising campaign in the 30s. The campaign did help to further popularize the character, but the company did not make his clothes red to correspond better with Coke. Santa was already depicted with red clothes.
Well, I think Norman Rockwell, didn't he do a painting of Santa Claus? Because I see in my eye, like, Santa Claus all dressed up in his red suit, and then a young boy sitting next to him along with the Coca-Cola label logo. And so I thought that maybe it was a Norman Rockwell thing that may have helped popularize this.
I don't think Norman Rockwell...
Now, of course, go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, the Santa that they did was very much in that style. I don't know if it was Norman Rockwell, though.
Thank you, Jeff.
It might have been. I don't know. It's kind of in his style, though, if nothing else.
I have a tie that has a Norman Rockwell Santa Claus, and I don't remember him being in red. It's more of like a dark green or something. But I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering. Is that a word?
We'll get corrected eventually.
Yes, yeah, somebody in the chat room will correct us.
Misremembering. Okay.
Who has good Google Foo out there?
Feedback at... No, I'm kidding.
By the way, our feedback line is feedback at... No, it's catholicweekend@sqpn.com or 1-862-200-SQPN.
And hate mail goes to dev/null.
Exactly.
Myth number four, and we've talked about this in previous episodes. In fact, earlier this month, actually, the Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of Jesus. And of course, we all know as Catholics that that is not what the Immaculate Conception is at all. And we won't even spend time on it. Myth number five, Christmas is celebrated on December 25th to replace a pagan holiday. And the first record of Christians celebrating Christmas on December 25th dates back to the 4th century. St. John Chrysostom says that Christians celebrate Christ's birth on that date not to co-opt a pagan celebration, but because they had good reason to believe that December 25th was the actual date of Christ's birth. And it goes into a little bit more detail here. And by the way, Jimmy Akin, which I mentioned, I believe on the last episode, had a good article about that in the Catholic Register about the fact that, because some people would say, well, it talks about, sheeps or the shepherds watching their flocks by night. And some people claim that, well, the shepherds don't graze that time of year in the Holy Land, but that's not actually true, that there are sheep out there grazing this time of year.
Bah.
So.
They don't graze their sheep. Well, how do they eat?
Exactly.
And actually, this is moving into the wet period of the year in the Holy Land. So,
So they get bored.
We didn't have John Deere tractors with hay balers back then, so they had to do something with them.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Eat them.
This is a good sight, by the way.
Shawarma.
I had some of that recently.
That's good stuff.
I had to make sure to get a couple of those when I was in the Holy Land. So good.
I want to go. If anybody hears about a good tour of the Holy Land, I want to go so bad.
Well, when are you going?
When are we going, Father?
Yeah, when are you going back, Father Corey?
Oh, probably in a couple of years I'd like to get a trip together.
Well, we've talked about this a few times on today's show. Speaking of Christmas movies, which we weren't, how's that for a transition? It's a Wonderful Life is one of my favorites. And I know there's some people out there, Billy Newton, that hates it. But we talked about, hearing bells and stuff on today's show. And on this same site, this churchpop.com, it says, how well do you know or remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life? And the first thing they said, here's a quote. Teacher says, every time a bell rings,
An angel gets his wings.
Okay, well, we all know that one. How about, what kind of business did the Bailey family run?
Oh, savings and loan.
Building and loan. That's the same thing. Yeah.
A building and loan, yeah.
Okay. What is it you want, Mary? What do you want? What did George tell Mary he would give to her?
The moon!
Yes, you know it well. When George hadn't been born, Mary had become a nun, a librarian, or a secretary?
Mary and the librarian.
A librarian.
Is it? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Portersville Public Library. Yep. Cool. Who did George call a warped, frustrated old man?
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter. What was George's guardian's angel's name? Oh, we know that. Clarence.
Clarence.
Yeah.
Anyway, Clarence.
Yeah.
Mixed movie references.
Different movie.
How about George knew he had been born because his lip was bleeding and he had his daughter Zuzu's what?
Flower petals in his pocket.
Yep. That is correct. Boy, Maria, you're good. Okay, once George hadn't been born, what was Bedford Falls called?
Pottersville.
The evil Potter. What permanent injury did George have after saving his brother's life?
He was deaf in one ear.
Yep, hearing loss.
Which How many times did you watch this movie, Maria?
Too many times.
Okay, let's see. Which record was Mary smashing when she took out the record and smashed it on the record player? Okay, here are the choices. My Blue Heaven, Charleston, or Buffalo Gals?
Buffalo Gals. No? Didn't they dance to that in the pool?
Buffalo, yep, that was it. Buffalo Gals. Yeah. Won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight.
Yeah.
What were the names of the police officer and the taxi cab driver? Ooh, now we're getting
Bert and Ernie.
Yep. Right. At the high school dance, why did the floor open to reveal a swimming pool?
Because his brother was a silly, silly prankster.
Was it a revenge on George? Is that right? Yeah, that's it. You want me to do some more?
Yeah.
This is where I have to admit that I've only seen the movie like twice, maybe.
You need to watch it again.
This would be torture for Billy Newton.
I know. This is for you, Billy. I know he's not watching. The day that there was a run on the banks, George was trying to leave for where? A trip to Fiji, his honeymoon, or college?
His honeymoon.
Yep. That's right. Let's see. George would wish for $1 million on the drugstore's cigar lighter. If it lit up, what would he say?
Oh, he would say, hot dog?
What, hot, do I have dog.
Choices? Hot dog.
That's it. Wow, you're good, Maria. Are you looking at this page, too?
No, I swear I'm not.
Wow.
I just have seen this movie too many times.
Okay, who?
I don't even like it.
Who declared George to be the richest man in town?
His brother
Harry.
Yeah.
Wow. I think you got every single one, Maria. That's fantastic. And you don't even like the movie?
No, and you know which movie I absolutely cannot stand?
What?
A Christmas Story, right? Is that the with the little boy?
Yeah,
shit my eye out. You're going to shit your eye out.
I never really thought that was good either. And it always comes up like the number one Christmas movie.
Because TBS plays it for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I was listening
about the rights to it and has basically worn out the tape on it.
I was listening to ESPN radio yesterday and they were bored and there wasn't any sports going on. So they were talking about what their top four favorite Christmas movies were. And they came up with things like Bad Santa, Elf.
Okay.
Home Alone.
I like Elf.
Home Alone and Christmas Story. And you know, I mean, none of the classics were there.
But you know what's funny is when people say their favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. It's a Christmas movie. Set at Christmas time.
But you know, Charlie Brown Christmas wasn't in there.
Oh, the Grinch. I love the Grinch.
I mean, these are guys who pontificate on sports for a living, so I don't see
that. Yeah, Bad Santa loves the list.
Bad Santa? Really?
Bad Santa, yeah. I don't think so.
I do love Elf.
I do too.
That is a good movie. It is a fun movie.
It is. It might make my top five, but
what would your top five be, Steve?
You know, I was thinking about that when I heard this while I was driving back from Tulsa yesterday, and I can't remember what I came up with as my top movie.
Well, just think of some. I mean, like just for the whole group here, what would be your like Miracle on 34th?
You know, that's pretty good, but I don't know if you would call this. There's a one of those Father Flanagan movies with Bing Crosby. Mm-hmm. I can't think of what it's called.
The Bells of...
Bells of St. Mary, maybe? Is that a Christmas movie?
I don't think
either of them are set at Christmas. Uh-huh. I thought they were both summer.
Well,
it's not White Christmas. I never really liked that movie.
Ew. I don't like that Bond actress in it. Her voice just irritates me.
I'd have to think about it again, but there was, I came up with one that I was like, how come nobody thought of this movie? But it's, you know, people, if it's black and white, it's not worth watching anymore, apparently.
That's true.
Someone mentioned Christmas Carol with the Muppets. Yes, absolutely.
How about Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas?
Oh, I didn't see
that's it.
Or how about Vern Steals Christmas? What was it? What was it?
Vacation. Was it Ernest?
Yeah, well, let's think about our favorite Christmas movies while we take this third break in the show. Llewellyn's Leap, played by Alan Marchand and his band. And again, we're in the midst of our giving campaign at SQPN.com. So if you haven't already done so, why not? Head over to SQPN.com/donate and help us out. And your donations are much appreciated. Become a friend of SQPN by heading over to SQPN.com/donate. And have you checked out all the great shows that are on SQPN? Why not? Head over to SQPN.com. You'll have a whole lineup of great programming, including many of our Secrets series. If you're into things... Wow. All righty. If you're into... things like, let's see, Star Wars. If you're into, what else? We have the Secrets of Star Wars. We have the Secrets of The Hobbit. They just came out with a new movie, and they're talking about it over there. The Secrets of Doctor Who. Have you, Father Corey, have you recorded the December issue of that episode
we have not yet. Of course, there was the Christmas Doctor Who Christmas special on Christmas Day, so we'll probably be doing that here pretty quick. I don't know when. I haven't heard from the boss, also known as Father Roderick.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that hopefully pretty quick.
Well, anyway, that's one of the many series of pop culture podcasts that we do at SQPN.com. And that's a big part of what we do at SQPN.com and the our role in the new evangelization. And if you want to get behind what we do and support us, head over to SQPN.com/donate today. All right. We are back again. And... So, have you thought about what's your favorite Christmas movie, Maria?
I like A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, that's
a good one. I watched it Christmas night before it fell out of on demand.
That thing, didn't they just celebrate like 50 years on that?
I think that's right.
It's something like that. It's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people don't know that there was actually some pushback about the scripture reading in it when it first aired, and they went ahead and did it anyway. And I think that's probably the thing that most appeals to people today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Linus?
It's the part that I look forward to watching.
Exactly. And the sad part is, wasn't it late '90s when ABC, which has like exclusive rights until eternity, actually cut that out a couple of times.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They did it like once or twice. They showed it without that.
Unbelievable. And
there was such an uproar that they rebroadcasted it with
it. It also has a connection to Coca-Cola. I think Coca-Cola was the sponsor for it. And
I think you're right, the initial sponsor.
So I think that there's some place that you can actually see it with the commercial or with the sponsorship, but they took that out. But yeah, that's my favorite. But I just love Elf so much.
Yeah. There are just so many great scenes of that. And the word that everybody seems to use a lot now, ginormous, I think, came from that movie, didn't it?
Cotton-headed Ninny Muggins.
Yeah. Get something special for Anyway, yeah, that's a great movie. Just he that role he plays so well.
And Lynn. I just agree with him. Syrup makes everything better.
I thought that was bacon. Bacon and syrup. There we go.
No, that is good, actually. Lynn, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Well, I have to agree with Maria that a favorite of mine is the Charlie Brown Christmas. But I also like How the Grinch Stole Christmas as well. And thank you, Marika, for jogging my memory on that one.
To be clear, too, the real one, not the
cartoon one, the animated one. Yeah, I've never seen the live version of it.
The Jim Carrey. Well, no, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's not as good as the animated version. I agree, but there are some great scenes in that. Jim Carrey is just a great comic actor.
I guess I'm just not a fan of Jim Carrey.
If you don't like Jim Carrey, then you're going to hate it.
It is kind of over the top.
I like the scene where he's sitting there and the echoing in his lair, and he says, "You're an idiot," and it comes back, "You're an idiot." Or I forgot what the gag is, but it's pretty funny.
Does his butt talk?
No, not in that one. No, I don't think so. Yeah, I know. Sometimes he can get pretty crude. Steve has already weighed in on Christmas movies. How about Terry? Do you have a favorite?
But the only one I can stand is Scrooge, the 51 version with Alastair Sim.
That is a good one.
Well, if you're just listening to the audio of this, you missed the face and pose that Terry just gave us.
Alastair hair.
Yeah, that's a classic, right? Christmas Carol. Yeah.
Is the Christmas goose still hanging in the window?
more as big as me. Oh,
so, you know, coming up here, we're, as we mentioned, the third day of Christmas, we still have, what, 9 more to go? And culminating in the Feast of the Epiphany. And at least here in the States, we don't do it upright, I think, like some of the other countries around the world, where that's really where they have their gift giving, which actually makes sense, because the wise men came bearing gifts for the newborn child.
And it's kind of tough too that now they move the Epiphany, so that's on the weekend.
Yeah,
so you don't actually get the 12 days anymore.
Yeah, why do they keep doing that? Let's put in a petition to move it all back to Holy Days of Obligation, fall. You know?
Because it's so important. It's so important we have to move it to a weekend so that people aren't put out to have to go to Mass on the weekdays.
Ah, people put out to go to Mass.
I don't know if you've noticed this, and maybe I'm just not
paying. Needs to be just restructured.
Maybe I'm not paying attention, but it seems like, you know, when we do actually have holy days of obligation that are not abrogated to the weekend or the Sunday Mass, it doesn't seem to me that that enough attention is made or announcements are made to the congregation that you know, hey, don't forget, like, you know, Monday is a feast day or a holy day of obligation. Make sure you make room in your calendar. I mean, I don't think we always do a very good job on our normal masses of obligation on Sunday to remind people when we actually do have to go during the week.
It's a legitimate concern. I mean, I think a lot of parishes just kind of assume because it's in the bulletin, because it maybe is somewhere on the website. If you click through 3 links and find the calendar and dig deep, you might find it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people assume that's enough. And they don't think about, you know, we should probably emphasize this at Mass. And I try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend here, I will announce that Thursday, you know, New Year's Day is a holy day of obligation. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm announcing it for all the Catholic weekend listeners. Thursday, November or January 1st is a holy day of obligation.
And tell us why that is. What are we celebrating on that day? That's my
Mary, the Mother of God.
Yeah.
We're not saying it because it's New Year's, although it's a good thing to go to Mass to start your New Year's, to start off the year right, but because it's Mary, the Mother of God, the Feast of Our Lady.
You know, our new pastor, I keep calling him new. He's not new anymore. We've had him for over a year. Our pastor is very catechetical from the, you know, is it a pulpit in Catholic? Ambo?
Pulpit. Ambo is the official term, but pulpit yeah. works.
He's very catechetical, and he will get up and give you just a little snippet every Sunday about what's coming up and things like that. And I really appreciate it that he is really using his authority as a teacher to do this for us.
That's very good.
You probably sounds like you do the same.
Yeah, I try to. And you know, I think what I'll do is I'll go to saints.sqpn.com and get all the information I need about Mary the Mother of God.
Get proper attribution.
We have a daily calendar on there that lists all the feasts.
Yes.
You know what? I love to, speaking of calendars, I love to pick up the parish calendar that comes out at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yes.
Because now you have so
the,
much,
the Catholic Extension one.
I'm sorry?
Is it Catholic Extension that does it?
Oh, yes. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. those are wonderful calendars.
Yeah, it's got great artwork, and then it's got, you know, the saint for every day just about.
Yep. Yeah, I use it. I use it all the time. In fact, I make sure to look at it, you know, as I'm rushing out the door to get ready for Mass. You know, okay, what feast are we celebrating today? Yeah, there Jeff has one.
Yeah.
I had one that also, it had the liturgical color for every day, and it also would tell you what week of the breviary you're in.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, that's useful.
A little sarcasm from Maria.
I could never do it. Thank goodness for devices, because otherwise.
Yeah. I like the book, you know, and it's very rare that you have to do all that flipping.
And if you're really worried about that, you just do iBreviary or the Divine Office.
Exactly.
That's what I have. Yeah. So done.
You don't have
That's
to.
What I used to on my iPad.
I use both.
I mean, there is, you're right, Steve. There is a certain, I don't know what the word is, but
tangible
feeling of actually, you know, going through and feeling the pages and mm-hmm. going into different sections and placing the ribbons and everything else. It just seems so complicated. It takes a while for you to learn how to do all of it.
Admittedly, I try to use the book as much as I can because it's so easy to get distracted when I'm doing it on my phone. Even if I put it on airplane mode, I'll think of something else. I should go do this,
something
will happen. You know, I get distracted because it's on my phone, and you know, what's the phone for? Distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I really make an effort to do it in the book as much as I can because then I'm setting the phone. The phone's in another room. I can't be distracted by it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, it's time for. And actually, it's past time for it because our end roll was about to start rolling, and I had to actually pause that so we could get in our picks of the week. I went, you're just not thinking, Jeffrey. Who would like to go first with their pick of the week? How about Lynn? She hasn't said much lately.
Okay, well, here comes my pick of the week, and I got this idea thanks to Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. Actually, I think somebody had also posted this in the chat room. I want to say it was John Clem who may have done so. So it comes from the NPR blog site, The Salt, What's on Your Plate? And the article title is, What Would Jesus Drink? A Class Exploring Ancient Wines Asks. And so the question is, okay, so what would he drink? What would he eat? Let's see. There was a cheese, Egyptian romi, that Jesus may have eaten. It's a sheep's milk cheese. And then there's also a red blend, red wine from Lebanon. That's something else that he probably would have drunk as well. And it's a fascinating article about food and drink, during Jesus' time. So I will put a link in the show notes for that. What would Jesus drink? A Class Exploring Ancient Wines asks.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Very cool. And I hate to interrupt, but it's time for an update. The new tally I just received from the chief financial officer of SQPN.com. We're now up to $14,079.
Yay. Yay, awesome.
And you just can't get enough of that game show fanfare, can you? So that means we're less than $4,000 to go. $3,921. Did I do that right in my head? I think I did. So
sounds good to me.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. Thank you, everyone watching who has given us some new contributions toward our end of the year giving campaign. That's the main reason why we're doing this podcast marathon. Actually, the reason why we're doing this is just to get a whole bunch of friends together on a Saturday after Christmas.
Oh, and you mean it's not for concocting scary smoothies in a blender?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen on this year's marathon or not.
It probably won't. My mom already made the breakfast smoothies.
I'm sure that she can.
I very kindly muted myself while she was doing.
She can wash out that darn blender for later in the day for some kind of a concoction, I'm sure. And then Steve has been wanting to do something like that, I'm sure. So.
Join us for cocktails at the 5 o'clock hour.
There we go.
Catholic drinkies will be our show later today. Okay, let's see. Who would like to go next with their pick of the week?
I can go.
Okay.
Well, my pick is an article from Our Sunday Visitor. It's called A Priest's Strategy for Confession, 16 Tips on How to Make a Good Confession and How to Avoid the Derp Face.
The what?
The derp face.
Can you demonstrate, Father?
No.
Well, I don't get that.
Kind of that look like.
Like you're not really sure what the priest is telling you?
This is the priest.
Oh, the priest.
The priest is giving you the look.
Now, you really can't tell.
Green is good for both sides.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
And believe me, there have been a couple times where I've looked at the screen and gone, what?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yeah. So some of the tips are prayerfully prepare. If you don't prepare, it's like practicing your Spanish at the ATM with a bunch of people waiting in line. Go to confession. Do it. God promises mercy. He doesn't promise tomorrow.
He also doesn't promise that you won't get the derp face, but anyway, yeah. Go.
That's the next one. Start by saying, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been so many days, weeks, months, years since my last confession, and these are my
sins.
Don't start with, because Father will make a derp face behind the screen. Don't say my biggest sin is, because that is never, ever your biggest sin. Don't say I need to be better about X, because your dear priest can't tell if that's a sin of omission or commission. Further, it doesn't sound like you're repenting of anything. Another last one I'll say two more here. Don't say, and I know that's wrong, because we all know sin is wrong. Derp face again. And finally, and Captain Jeff will appreciate this one. When you're finished, land the plane. I am truly sorry. If you just stop talking, the priest thinks that you are still thinking or that you died. Land the plane.
Or how about don't...
Stay tuned for more next month.
How about don't confess the sins of other people?
Yes, that one's in there as well.
Oh, that's good. I can't wait to read the rest of them. Or maybe you should save the rest of them for next show.
Yeah, there's some good ones. There's some very good ones.
So tell us about some of the really good confessions you've heard lately. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And a reminder
you
that
you want to get him in trouble?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, thank you, Father Corey, for that pick of the week. Who would like to go next? Terry, do you have a pick of the week?
No, didn't know I'd be.
Well, you, I think it's saints.sqpn.com, perhaps.
Well, yeah, I was going to do a little blatant self-promotion there.
There you go.
But the readings and the calendar and whatnot. I also plug for some other folks on SQPN. I've got links on every day's calendar to the prayers and the readings and breviary from the guys who run PrayStation Portable and Verbum Domini, who are also SQPN affiliates.
Absolutely.
As well as links to U.S. Catholic Bishop's site, where they have the readings for the day in text form and some other ones that are in audio. And I know that there are some folks who, because I get some mail from them if I miss a day, who have problems reading screens, but use that as a way of the audio versions to go through the daily prayers.
Okay, excellent. So again, check out SQP or saints.sqpn.com for all that good stuff. Thank you, Terry. Steve?
My pick of the week is also something that you can get from the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and it's the Pocket Gospels.
Oh, excellent.
What is that? Pope Francis made a statement some months back about how you should have a copy of the Gospels with you and just carry it around with you and read it every day. And the USCCB put out their own version like this, and it's awesome. It's really great. And it's very inexpensive, and just throw it in your backpack and carry it around. And when you have a lull and are thinking about getting into some sort of trouble, then just pull this out and carry it. I think I'll have another cookie. No, I'm going to read the gospel.
Oh, having another cookie is a sin? Well, it might be.
I'm about to go get some bourbon balls myself.
Chocolate ornaments.
Yum. Maria.
Well, after all of these religious and edifying picks of the week, mine is a free game in the App Store.
Okay, and it is?
My daughter got me hooked on it over this vacation break. It's called Word Brain, one word. And you have to just find some words, like doing a little word search. But it's really, really a lot of fun, because once you eliminate the word, then you still have to, with what the letters drop, create a new word.
Word rain?
So it's just good for the brain. Word brain.
Word brain.
Word brain. Yeah, it's really addictive. I've been just playing it on my iPad the whole time that I've been, supposed to be doing something else.
By the way, just saw yesterday with my son Chris the Imitation Game, the movie with Benedict Cumberbatch. And about the story that was just recently revealed about the Enigma machine that the Germans had, and the effort to break the code using another machine called the Turing machine, which is the predecessor of our modern day computers. And excellent film. Highly recommend you see that. But that's not my pick of the week. Because Father already mentioned it, and I refer to this, if not every day, at least, every Catholic weekend, to see what the saints and feast days are of the week, and it's put out by Catholic Extension, as Father Corey mentioned. Mm-hmm. So at your parish, chances are they'll have a stack of these things right around this time of year for you to pick up for free, to put somewhere in your house to remind yourself of the saints and the feast days and all that good stuff. So the official Catholic calendar for nearly 100 years.
And to throw a kind of a plug for Catholic Extension, they do a lot of work in mission territories, such as my diocese. They give a lot of money to help out very rural, very mission-oriented parishes. So it's worth that if your parish contributes to them by getting the calendar, pick up the calendar.
Excellent. All right. Well, Father Corey, we can find you on the interwebs. How?
Well, my website where I post my homily is FatherCorey.org, FRCORY.org. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, all those kind of things at FRCoreySticha. Last name spelled STICHA.
Thank you. Maria Johnson, Bago, at Bago.
Yeah, that's right. Follow me at Bago on Twitter, and go see my pictures at BagoJohnson.com. Another cup of coffee.
Another cup of coffee, BagoJohnson.com. Be there or be square. Lynn Francisco, How might we find you in the digital space?
Well, I, along with the other sheeple, have started going on Instagram again. So you could find some of my pictures on Lynn Francisco, all one word, on Instagram. That is also my Twitter handle. You could also find me on Facebook as well, Lynn Francisco. And then my very neglected blog is Organic Chemist. That's at musical-chemist.blogspot.com.
Okay, excellent. We'll have all that information in the show notes, right, Lynn? And Terry, saints.sqpn.com?
That's right. We've said it 100 times a day. Go to saints.sqpn.com. Look down the right-hand column. Give me a link for today on the calendar and the Twitter feed, which will anything new that comes along and all the other stuff. Just go there.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, sir, for joining us on this episode of Catholic Weekend. And Steve Nelson.
EverythingEsteban.com.
EverythingEsteban.com. Again, all that information in the show notes. I'm Captain Jeff, AirlinePilotGuy.com. And until next time, everybody have a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN. Leading the way in Catholic new media.